One more time, sing hallelujah. Hallelujah, God above it all. Hallelujah, unshakable. Hallelujah, you have done great things. Oh, hero of heaven, oh, hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You freed every captive and break every chain. You have done great. We dance in your freedom, awaken the life. Oh, Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh God, you have done great. Oh hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You freed every captive and break every chain. Oh God, you have done great. We dance in your freedom, awaken the life. Oh Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh God, you have done great things. You have done great. Let's sing that together. You have done great things. You have done great. Sing hallelujah, hallelujah, God above it all.
Hallelujah, God
unshakable.
Hallelujah,
you have done great things. We sing hallelujah and hallelujah, God above it all.
Hallelujah,
unshakable.
Hallelujah, you have
done great things. One more time, sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah, God
above it all.
Hallelujah, God
unshakable. Hallelujah, you have done great things. Thank you, Lord. Come on, just our voices. Sing it out. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and oh my soul, and worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, and I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Come on, lift your voice to him this morning. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, and worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, and I worship your holy. You're rich in love. You're rich in love, and you're slow to anger. Your name is great, and your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing, Lord. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. I worship your holy name, Lord. I sing like never before, and oh my soul, and I worship your holy name. draws near. In my time has come. Oh, still my soul will see your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. All together. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul. And worship
His holy name.
Sing like never before. Oh, and I worship your name. We bless you, Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And oh my soul. And worship his holy name, Lord. Sing like never before. And oh my soul. And I worship your holy name. Yes, I worship your holy name. Yes, I worship your holy name. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Come on, you know these words. Lift it up high. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art.
Wow. Good morning. Nice to see you. Why don't you greet one another before you're seated this morning? You sound as tired as I feel. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, good morning. We're delighted that you're here. Welcome to the service this morning. And if this is your first time here, we want to extend a very special welcome to you. And tell you that we're delighted you're here, to tell you that we want to come alongside and support you and encourage you and pray for you. And if you would be so kind as to fill out the connection card in the chair pocket in front of you, and you can either put it in the offering or if you hand it in at the welcome desk, at the information desk in the foyer at the end of the service, there's a small gift there for you as well. So we just want to be able to know that you were here, connect with you, and follow up with you if we can. For those of you watching on live stream, are we doing live stream okay this morning? I know we've had some trouble, but I think we're there. And so for those of you on live stream, thank you for hanging in there and being with us this morning. Just a few announcements. After the service today, we have scheduled to share coffee together. And once a month, we like to plan something where we can spend a little bit of time after the service, spend time together, get to know each other. If you're new, also just to be able to see some people that we've known for a while. And so we just encourage you to hang around after the service today, have some coffee, enjoy a visit before you head off on your way. On behalf of the youth group, just want to announce that today is the final day to sign up and pay for the youth fundraiser. They're doing a spaghetti lunch, is a takeaway lunch, and next Sunday after the service, they'll have it available for you to take with you, and you can go to the information desk at the end of the service. You can sign up, you can pay your money, and next week you can get your food. At this time, we have a very short video, and then Ross Cree is going to follow up with an announcement this morning.
Good morning. Good morning, young men, middle-aged men, men like myself of a very mature vintage, and men older than that. I just want to encourage you this morning to consider attending the conference. And it's been a long time since we've had the opportunity to be able to attend something like this of this epic magnitude. So I would like to take advantage of the what they call early bird pricing, group early bird pricing, which ends October 30th. So I will be in the foyer, and you can ask me any question you want about the conference. If I don't know anything, I'll look it up like you would on Google, and we'll talk about it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ross. I like that. Vintage. Although I'm not sure my wife would agree that I get better with time. I'm not sure about that, but I like the vintage part of it for sure. Junior and senior high youth, also you're meeting at 7 this week, so just keep that in mind. We're going to receive our morning tithes and offerings at this time, and you can give electronically at giving@epcoakville.com, or you can give in the offering plate this morning. Kids, newborn to age 3, there's a nursery available downstairs for them at any time through these doors, down the stairs, and right on your left. And children that are age 4 up to grade 5, you can make your way out through this door. Your leaders will be waiting there for you, and you'll be heading out. God bless you as you give this morning. I'm going to hand it back to Jono to continue to lead us in worship today.
You hear me when I call. You are my morning song. Though darkness fills the night, it cannot hide the light. You crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield. Though troubles linger still, whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands beside. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he's a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side.
I still stand.
My strength is in your name, for you alone can save. You will deliver me, yours is the victory. Whom shall I fear? And whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands beside. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side.
Nothing formed.
And nothing formed against me shall stand. You hold the whole world in your hands. Yeah, I'm holding on to your promises. You are faithful. You are faithful.
Nothing formed.
And nothing formed against me shall stand. You hold the whole world in your hands. Yeah, I'm holding on to your promises. You are faithful. You are faithful. I know who goes. I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. Sing it together. I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. Yes, you are. Nothing formed. Nothing formed against me shall stand. Come on, let's say it with faith this morning. You hold the whole
world in your hand.
I'm holding on. I'm holding on to your promises. 'Cause you are faithful. You are faithful. Nothing formed. And nothing formed against me shall stand. You hold the whole world in your hands, Lord. I'm holding on to your promises. 'Cause you are faithful. You are faithful. Let's sing it again. You are faithful. You are faithful. You are faithful. You are faithful. You are faithful to me. Nothing formed. And nothing formed against me shall stand. You hold it. You hold the whole world in your hands. I'm holding on to your promises. You are faithful. You are faithful. Come on, someone needs to sing that this morning. And nothing formed against me shall stand. You hold the whole world in your hands. I'm holding on to your promises. 'Cause you are faithful. You are faithful. You are faithful. You are faithful to me. Thank you, Lord. You are immovable, unshakable, unchangeable. You are trustworthy and reliable, Lord. We honor you this morning. Nothing formed against me will prosper. You hold our lives in the palm of your hand. We bless your name and bless it. For you gave a life. You are love. You bring light into the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you. Great are you, Lord? It's your breath. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. Yeah.
You give life. You give life. You are love. You bring light into the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Yes, you do. Singing great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath. It's your breath in our lungs. And we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, Lord. So we pour out our praise to you, Lord. It's your breath. It's your breath in our lungs. And we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you, holy. Singing great are you, Lord. Singing great. Sing these words and all the earth. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. Come on, let him hear you this morning. Sing it out. Sing, all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing, great are you, Lord. Come on, lift it up. Sing, all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing, great are you. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing, great and high you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. And we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, and we pour out our praise to you only. To your breath, it's your breath in our lungs. We pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, and we pour out our praise to you only. Singing great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Singing great are you, Lord. Yeah. Singing great. Just your breath. Just your words. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. To your breath. To your breath.
In our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only.
To you only.
to you only. So we're breathing in your grace, and we're breathing out your praise, Lord. We're breathing in your mercy and your love and your grace, and we're breathing out your praise. We thank you for your mercy, Lord. We thank you, Lord, your mercy, God. We thank you for your mercy. Breathing out your praise, singing great, singing great, are you? Great. They say this mountain can't be moved. They say these chains will never break. But they don't know you like we do. Amen. Because there is power in your name. We've heard. We've heard that there is no way through. We've heard the tide will never change. They haven't seen what you can do. There is power in your name. So much power. So much power in your name. Move the unmovable. Move the unmovable. Break the unbreakable. God, we believe. God, we believe for it. From the impossible, we'll see a miracle. God, we believe. God, we believe for it. We know that hope is never lost. Come on, sing together.
We know that hope is never lost. For there is still an empty grave.
Yeah.
God, we believe no matter what. There is power in your name.
Come on, let's sing that again. We know that hope is never lost.
We know that hope is never lost.
Oh, yeah.
For there is still an empty grave.
We believe,
God, we believe no matter what. There is power in your name.
Yeah,
so much power in your name. Unmovable, break the unbreakable. God, we believe,
Lord.
God, we believe for it. From the impossible, we'll see a miracle. God, we believe,
yes.
God, we move the unmovable, sing, move the unmovable. Break the unbreakable. God, we believe. God, we believe for it. From the impossible, we'll see a miracle. God, we believe. God, we believe for it. You are the way, sing. You are the way where there seems to be no way, yeah. We trust in you, God, you have the final say, yeah. You are the way where there seems to be no way. We trust in you, God, you have the final say. Yes, Lord. God, we believe. God, we come on, sing with faith this morning. Move the unmovable, break the unbreakable. God, we believe. God, we believe for it. From the impossible, we'll see a miracle. God, we believe. God, we believe for it. God, we believe. God, we believe for it. God, we believe. God, we believe for it. Yeah, 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 yeah. God, we believe for it.
Come on, let's sing that over Oakville. Sing it over the nation. Sing it over your family. As we sing this chorus one more time, let's pray this prayer that God would move in salvation. God would move in healing, signs and wonders among us.
Move the unmovable. Break the unbreakable. God, we believe. God, we believe for it. From the impossible, we'll see a miracle. God, we believe. God, we believe.
One more time. Come on.
Move the unmovable. Break the unbreakable. God, we believe. God, we believe for it. From the impossible, we'll see a miracle. God, we believe. God, we believe for it. God, we believe. God, we believe for it. God, we believe. God, we believe for it.
Lord, that's our prayer this morning. That's our prayer this morning. Pray it in sincerity, and we pray it from the depths of our hearts this morning. Scripture this morning is found in 1 Kings chapter 17, and we're going to read verses 8 to 12. And the word of the Lord came to him, Elijah, go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath, and when he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink? As she was going to get it, he called, and bring me, please, a piece of bread. As surely as your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread. Only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, Jono. Thank you, worship team, for leading us this morning. Last weekend, you may have noticed I wasn't here. My home church celebrated their 70th anniversary. Some people said, well, why didn't you just wait till 75? I just think when you've been through something as traumatic as COVID, you just need something to pull everybody together and celebrate. So they decided to do 70, and they invited me back to speak on the Sunday morning and on the Sunday night. And I was honored because there are 25 people who have gone out of that church into full-time ministry, and I was honored to be the one standing on the stage last Sunday. As our flight was making its descent into St. John's right on time, see, modern-day miracles, it was a very foggy day, which is not unusual for a city that gets about 100 days of fog per year. And as we were making our descent in, suddenly the plane pointed upwards and the engines thrusted at full speed and we were just heading back up, you know, and I'm just thinking, okay, like we're about to go inside of a mountain or knock somebody's chimney off their house. You know, it just, everybody was just kind of in panic mode, like what's happening? We can't see anything out the windows. But before long, the pilot came on the intercom and told us that the visibility was too poor to land and that we would be attempting another landing using guided radar. St. John's Airport is equipped with radar guiding technology to assist planes in landing when visibility is reduced, which is a lot. I want to tell you, it was so foggy that when the wheels touched down, when you felt the wheels touch down on the second attempt and you're looking out the window, you still couldn't see anything. It was just a wall of fog outside the window. I couldn't help but obsess over the kind of trust in technology it takes to land a huge airplane filled with people into near zero visibility when you can't see anything in front of you. And because pastors see all of life as a sermon illustration, and especially when your kids are grown up and it's no longer, it's always inappropriate to use them, but you abuse that when they're younger, but when they're older, you can't really keep doing that. I couldn't help but reflect on how this guided radar system is so similar to trusting God in our lives. Trusting Him when we can't see anything. Trusting Him when we can't see where we're going. Trusting Him when we don't know what lies ahead. Today we are continuing our sermon series entitled Defining Moments, and we're going to consider the widow of Zarephath, someone who demonstrated trust in God despite not being able to see any evidence that her trust would be rewarded. And that type of trust creates defining moments in one's life. And so today, as we walk through, we'll be reminded that God's invitation to trust Him is always accompanied by His promise to provide for us. God's invitation to trust Him is always accompanied by His promise to provide for us. So let's take a look at our scripture today. Hard times. Just a bit of the context of the story. King Ahab of Israel married a woman named Jezebel. You may have heard of her. She wore makeup and earrings in the 70s and was not allowed to be in church. I think that's a different Jezebel. She was the daughter of the king of Sidon. Sidon was a nation that practiced idol worship. Jezebel, when she married Ahab, introduced idol worship, the worship to Baal, to Israel. She was an evil person and even had the prophets of God killed because they were competing for the spiritual attention of the nation of Israel. As you can imagine, God wasn't happy about that. And so in response, God called Elijah the prophet, and he said, I need you to make an announcement to the nation of Israel that rain is going to be withheld as punishment for their actions. It would not rain for the next few years. And so as Elijah made that announcement, he is instantly on the most wanted list. And King Ahab and his people are searching everywhere so they can find Elijah and kill him. But we're told that God hid Elijah beside the Kereth Brook. Ahab's actions had a huge impact on the land of Israel and personally on Elijah. We find Elijah alone and scared and hiding for his life and helpless to do anything to change. And God is providing for him as ravens brought him food and bread and meat twice a day. I mean, we celebrate that, but really, would you want that? You know? A reminder to Elijah that God had not lost track of him, that he was still watching over him and meeting his needs. The time of our scripture today, the part that we're going to look at, is about 2 years later. And the brook had dried up. And Elijah no longer had a water source. He needed to move somewhere else. But where? Where's he going to go? And so God spoke to Elijah and he said, I need you to travel to the town of Zarephath. And he says, I've directed a widow there to supply you with food. The word directed means chosen. And that's important. It doesn't mean that he's instructed the widow there. God had chosen a widow there to take care of Elijah, but she had no idea. She didn't know she was a part of God's plan. God had chosen her. Hard times had fallen on her. Her husband had died, and she was probably young, since she only had one child, one young son, and he was young enough that he was still at home under her care. He was a child. Life for her was a constant struggle, survival. She's alone. She's raising a child by herself. She's solely responsible for everything. The financial pressure would have been overwhelming. The loss of her husband would have meant the loss of her family income. There would have been very few opportunities for work for a woman at that time. And her son was clearly too young to go out to work and supply the family. There's no social safety net that will come alongside and help her get through this challenge in her life. And in addition to that, she's carrying the stigma of being labeled a widow. We're not even told her name. Her identity in scripture is she's the widow of Zarephath. Her current circumstances are overwhelming. The past 2 years without rain have only added more impact to her already dire situation. And she's reached a point in her life where time is up and she just can't go on any longer. She's reached the end. There's no food available. She had a little bit of flour in a jar. She has a little bit of oil in a jug. And she's gathering sticks and she tells us this. She's gathering sticks and her intention is she will make a fire. She will mix the oil and the flour. She'll make herself a cake or bread for her and her son. They will eat it and then that's the end. They will die. It's the end. There's no doubt that these are hard times for Elijah. But they're also really hard times for this woman and her son. The next thing we see in the story is tough choices. The distance from Kereth Brook on east of Jordan to the town of Zarephath is about 160 kilometers. To get there, Elijah would have to travel right through the heart of King Ahab's kingdom. And as I mentioned earlier, Ahab was desperately searching for Elijah. He's angry, he's desperate, and he went as far as to warn other nations, if you hide him, if you protect him, then, you know, you're going to have to answer to me. And to add to the difficulty of the request was the location of Zarephath. Ironically, it's in the kingdom of Sidon. As you may recall, Jezebel's father is the king of Sidon. And so God is directing Elijah to travel through the heart of the kingdom of, of Sidon and to go into Jezebel's home territory. I mean, really, I can imagine, you know, why Elijah might want to have a conversation with God and saying, I'm sure there's a few other places we could go. But that's where he sent them to. And so obeying God's direction and trusting God was, you know, was a big deal. It was a big risk. There's a lot at stake. There was a lot that could go wrong, but Elijah obeyed God's command. He put his trust in God to continue to protect him and to lead him despite the circumstances. And so as Elijah, in his obedience, is approaching the town gate, he saw the widow gathering sticks for her final meal. God needed someone to care for his servant, Elijah. He needed someone. And you might expect that God would have chosen someone from Israel. You might expect that God would have chosen someone with the means, with the resources to share with Elijah. But instead, he chose a foreigner who was poor, who was marginalized by society, who had little to offer. And so as Elijah walked up to her, he said, can you get me a drink? And she went to get it, and that in itself would have been sacrificial. It hadn't rained, right? But she went. But when he said, can you also bring me some food? That's where the reality of her situation came to the forefront. Water would be less sacrificed, but food would cost her dearly. And she explained her dilemma. And Elijah responded to her and said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Go home and make the cake as you had planned, and then bring it to me, and I will eat it. And then you can make a cake for you and your son. And he told her that God promised that her flour and her oil would not run out until the rains came again. So a stranger showed up out of nowhere before she made her last meal for her and her son, and he asked her to give the food to him instead, because his God, not her God, his God, would keep her in supply to make more cakes. I don't know about you, but this sounds a lot like the grandparent scheme. Telemarketing schemes. It's a little sketchy, isn't it? She was a foreigner. Elijah's God was not her God. She didn't have a track record of serving and trusting God and say, you know what, God has been faithful in the past. I believe he'll be faithful in the future. She didn't have that. She didn't have a history to look back on and say, yes, I've seen the hand of God on my life and he can be trusted. She didn't have that. It's a tough choice to make. After all, what mother would put the play, you know, a stranger ahead of her child? A tough choice. But on the other hand, what does she have to lose? They're one cake away from the end anyway. What's going to be gained by eating it? So she went and she did as Elijah told her, deciding to trust this God that she knew little, even nothing about. Learned trust. Throughout this journey, Elijah learned that he could put his trust in God and God would take care of him. He was willing to do whatever God asked. And despite the risk and despite things often not making any sense, he was faithful. And as a result, God protected Elijah and used him to accomplish his purposes. Throughout this journey, the widow discovered that she too could trust in the God of Elijah. Because as promised, the flour and the oil did not run out until the rains came. It's interesting to note that the woman didn't receive sacks of flour and cisterns of oil. Flour and the oil were never overflowing. That wasn't God's promise to her. Each day, the only guarantee was that it would be replenished. It would be replenished. God taught this woman the valuable lesson of daily dependence on him to meet her needs. God provided for her as long as the need existed, and when the rains came and God's miraculous provision was no longer needed, it ended. This woman and her son were given an extension of life because of God's supplying hand. If Elijah hadn't shown up that day, they would have been dead by now. We could end there. In fact, a lot of times when this text is preached, we do end there. But the next section of the story, I believe, is critically important, and it outlines an important insight into the reality of trusting God. The story should read that, you know, the oil and the flour continued, and the woman and her son lived happily ever after. But that's not what happened. In the midst of the daily miracle of flour and oil miraculously replenished, came a serious setback. The woman's son became sick, and he stopped breathing. Never a good thing. And this had a major impact on the woman, and she became frustrated. And she became angry at God. Why would God allow this? She had been faithful. She had done exactly what he asked, and she took care of Elijah. Why? It doesn't make sense. And we're told that Elijah took the boy and he called out to God for a miracle, and God answered his prayer, and the boy recovered. And Elijah gave the boy back to his mother. Now, I want us to note her response. And this is what she said. Now I know that you're a man of God, and that the word of God, the Lord, from your mouth is the truth. She could already see God working daily in her life. But when crises came, this important, serious crises came, she lost sight of all of that. And all of God's daily provision was just pushed to the side for a moment. It took a miracle to remind her that God could be trusted in every situation. She learned to really trust in God despite how hopeless the situation looked. As we take a look at the scripture for our own lives today, there are three very brief things I'd like to focus on in terms of application this morning. First is, why me? Why me? Of all of the people that God could have chosen to care for Elijah, why would God choose the widow in Zarephath? She had gone through and was going through deep loss. She had limited resources. She's an outsider from an idol-worshipping nation. She's certainly an unlikely choice. Why? Why her? Well, fortunately for us, Jesus actually answers that question in Luke 4. After he stood up and read Isaiah 61 in the synagogue service, Spirit of the Lord is upon me, has anointed me, da-da-da, this is my mission. He made the declaration, the scripture is fulfilled in your sight today. He was the anointed one. And the crowd was okay. This is his hometown. The crowd was okay with this statement until Jesus began to express that outsiders, Gentiles, Israel's enemies, would also be included in his anointed ministry. And the moment he went there, he made them very, very angry. In fact, they tried to push him off a cliff. It's usually a sign they don't like you. And then Jesus reminded the crowd, as they are upset, Jesus said, you know what? It is true. And he quoted a a parable, a proverb. No prophet is accepted in his hometown. And then he gave a couple of examples, one of Elisha, but one of Elijah, and there's only the Elijah one we'll look at. And he said, even Elijah, in Luke 4, as he's dealing with this anger problem, he said, even Elijah ministered to and was cared for by an outsider, by a Gentile woman from Zarephath. And Jesus said, there were many widows in Israel. Yet Elijah was not sent by God to them. God sent Elijah to her because God's mission and heart is for all people. And he knew, God knew that she would receive. It didn't make sense to anybody else that she was a good choice, but it made sense to God. That she would receive Elijah and she would care for Elijah with faith and with obedience in a God that up until now she didn't even know. Now, I don't know about you, but I often ask the question, why me, God? Not, you know, why do I have problems or trouble? You know, I think the answer to that is, well, why not me? But I've asked God, why me? Why are you asking me, why are you asking this of me when there are so many others that are so better equipped to do what you're asking than I am? Why are you asking me? Why are you choosing me? When I knew that God was calling me into full-time ministry at 17 years of age, and I just openly shared it with my friends in the guidance counselor's office one day, and the laughter erupted and filled the room, and rightly so. I mean, I had someone from my high school class walk up to me last Sunday and, you know, say hi, and then they told someone, yeah, he was a class clown. I can't imagine I was, really. I don't think I was. I think I was very seriously devoted, dialed in, but they laughed. Because they could not imagine for one second that God was calling me into full-time ministry. And I was right there with them. I've learned that God often asks the least likely to act on his behalf. And I have a theory about that. I think it's the same reason that statistically C students make the best pastors long-term. It is, you know, because I just think, and not that A students can't be good pastors, right? Because I know a lot of them that are. But statistically, I believe it's because the least likely know that they can only accomplish what God is asking by putting their trust in him and not in their own abilities and resources. I believe that's why. It's like, oh, God, you're asking me this. There's no way this is happening if it's not you. Because I do not have the ability or resources to do this. Folks, God chooses us to do difficult things because he sees us and he desires to make us a part of what he is doing. He knows our hearts, and he knows that like the widow, we will respond with faith and obedience even though we're unlikely choices. Secondly, sacrificial living. Elijah asked the widow to make a significant sacrifice in order to be obedient to God's plan. It was a tough ask. It was a tough ask. She was hopeless. She had next to nothing. This was terrible timing. Things were particularly hard at this moment. She's committed to her own family. But God never asks us to do anything for him without a promise to provide for us, to be with us, to strengthen us, to help us. She was offered God's continual provision if she was willing to respond in trust. And even though she didn't have much to offer, she offered God all she had. She stepped into the thick fog of uncertainty, believing that she would land safely, being cared for and supported. Sacrificial living often does not make sense. I think that's why they call it sacrificial. Being asked by God to respond in obedience when we feel hopeless, when we are struggling, when we have limited resources, when the timing is all wrong, when our priorities are focused on other things, it doesn't make sense. But like the widow, God never asks anything of us without a promise to provide for us, to be with us, to strengthen us, and to help us. This past weekend, I got to have a brief visit with my oldest brother. He's really old now, too, which is a reminder that I'm coming behind. We talked a lot about God's faithfulness to us and our family. We talked about our father. And being an anniversary weekend, we were reminded that our father was a man whose name was on the original tithing records when the church started, even though he didn't even become a follower of Jesus until many years later. A man who, when I was a teenager, took care of his family on $800 a month. And because he could barely write, would have me fill out an envelope with $80 to give to God through his church. It makes sense to me as a teenager. We talked about those things. We were struggling and life was hard and we had limited resources, but our dad trusted in God's provision and trusted God to take care of us. And guess what? God did. He took care of us. He met our needs. We talked about how he and I and our families have decided to follow our dad's pattern of sacrificial giving and sacrificial living and how we have seen God's care and provision in our lives. We talked about that. And I'll be honest with you this morning, sometimes I struggle as a pastor in terms of challenging each of us to sacrificial living and sacrificial giving. Because, I understand that these are difficult times. These are tough times. And many are barely making it through. And many do not even have enough to cover the basics. And so, as a pastor, I'm inclined out of compassion and mercy to not even highlight the need for sacrificial living because it just seems insensitive and cruel. I'm just being honest. Yet on the other hand, I know that to not encourage us to sacrificial living and sacrificial giving is to keep us from experiencing an encounter with God and this miraculous life-defining moments of receiving God's provision and having that testimony of the faithfulness and the goodness of God as we respond to what is hard and what is costly. And so those are the two things that are battling on either side. Because I believe that sometimes we say we can't afford to, but the truth is we can't afford not to. It's about more than money and things and resources. It's about lordship and trust in our walk with God. Sacrificial living will cost us something, but God never asks without a promise to provide. Thirdly, provision. The story of the widow reminds us once again of God's daily provision and care for us. Now, some teach that with the right amount of faith, God provides extravagantly for us, showering us with materialistic blessings. But we see throughout Scripture a different message, a different theme, a different pattern of God's daily care. The manna appeared every morning, and it was enough for that day. In fact, God said, don't store it up for tomorrow. And when they did anyway, right? Because that's what happens. You don't listen. We don't listen. There were problems. God says, no. Every day you're going to learn that I am your provider, day by day. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught us to pray. And what he taught us to pray was, give us our daily bread, day by day. The promise is that we will receive strength with each new day. As your days are, so shall your strength be. We're told that the Lord's mercies are new every morning. Jesus taught us that hoarding up resources are it's a negative thing. Every time he taught on that. When he told the story of tearing down barns and building bigger barns. No, he says, that's not the way you do it. You don't do it that way. The widow's oil and flour in our story are replenished as needed, day by day. She gave God all she had, and in return, God gave her all she needed. She gave God all she had, and in return, God gave her all she needed, not all she wanted. We learn from the widow, and I want you to hear this, that the end of our hope is the middle of God's story. The end of our hope is the middle of God's story, if we are willing to put our trust in him. And God will provide for us day by day. I'm going to invite our worship team to come. Folks, the circumstances in our world and in our lives right now have created an incredible blanket of fog for many of us. And we're unable to clearly see where our lives are going and where all of this is going. And it's in these moments that we need to put our trust in God. Trusting that God will safely bring us through. God's invitation to trust him is always accompanied by his promise to provide for us. And if we respond to his invitation of trust, it will create a significant defining moment in our lives. Would you stand with us this morning? Our worship team is going to lead us.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. And even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know you are near. And I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. And if my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? And oh no, you never let go of every calm through the storm. Oh no, you never let go in every high, every low. Oh no, you never let go, you never let go of me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. Even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know you. I will fear no evil, and I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. And if my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? Oh, oh no, you never let go. You're able to come through the storm. Oh no, you never let go. Through every high, every low. Oh no, you never let go. You never let go of me. Oh no, you never let go. And oh no, you never let go. Through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, you never let go. Through every high and every low. Oh no, you never let go. You never let go of me. No, no, I will fear no evil. And I will fear no evil. For my God is with me. And if my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I will fear no evil. And I will fear no evil. And for my God is with me. And if my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? Sing, oh no. And oh no, you never let go. Through the calm, through the storm. Oh
no, you never let go.
Through every high and every low. Oh
no,
you never let go. You never let go of me. Sing that one more time. Oh no, you never let go. Oh no. And oh
no,
you never let go.
Through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, you never let go. And every high and every low.
And
oh no,
you never let go. You never let go of me.
Lord Jesus, this morning we are so grateful that you never let go. Hold us in your hands. You never let us go. And we are grateful this morning. Lord, I pray for those who may be here or watching today that, like the widow, feel like they have come to the end. Life feels hopeless. They can't see their way forward. There doesn't seem to be any solution. There is no future. And God, I pray today that your word by your Spirit would resonate in their hearts and remind them today that their end is just the middle of your story. That you haven't brought us this far to only bring us this far. That we can trust you, even when it's sacrificial and it's difficult. Especially when it's hard, sacrificial and difficult. Help us. Lord, we pray like the disciples this morning. Lord, we believe, but help our unbelief. Help us to walk into the fog of life that makes no sense, that seems to have no direction and no clarity, and help us to put our trust that you're going to get us where we need to be. Father, today I pray for those who are not able to be here in our service. We thank you for Alfreda today, and I pray that you would continue to be with her and give her your strength and your healing. Even though she's separated from her church family, which is very difficult for her, remind her that you are right there with her and that you will never let her go. Lord, we pray for Birdie today, and I thank you for the progress that she's making in her rehab, and a go-home date has been established if all goes well, and we pray that it would. So long. Grant that in her life, Lord. as Grace continues to recover from home, would you be with her and Jerry? Father, today as we are concerned about what's happening in our world, especially what's happening in the Middle East right now, we pray, Lord God, for peace. We pray for your peace. We pray for the Prince of Peace to bring peace to nations, to war, to individual lives. Lord, we pray for peace today. We pray that Jesus would be glorified. We pray that God would be honored. And we pray, Lord, and hold up every life before you and ask that you, the Prince of Peace, would bring peace. Lord, as we leave this place and we spend some time before we do, and Lord, would you smile on our fellowship this morning as we spend time with one another? Would you strengthen us and encourage us as we encourage one another today? And I pray that you would lead us and be with us this week in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here this morning.